The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Is somebody in the house? Nehemiah 13, the first three verses. The title of today's message is Blessings That Prevail Over Curses. Oh, the amen should have set something in motion for you already. Blessings that prevail over curses. So in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Shout amen. That's for you. Verse 3, now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. While you keep a bookmark in Numbers 13, I'd like for you to go with me to, Nehemiah 13. I'd like for you to go with me, you know, backwards into Numbers chapter 22. Reading from verse number 1. Remember, they read from the book of the law. At a point, they read from morning till noon. So it's important for you to follow and to listen as we read. The people were blessed as they listened to the word. So Numbers 22 from verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So the Amorites are different from the Ammonites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us, as an ox licketh up the grass in the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was the king of the Moabites at that time. Verse 5. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against us. Verse 6. Now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that they we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wish that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with you? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, say, behold, they are a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, for thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto with a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. Verse 20. And God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, if the men come and call thee, rise up and go with them. Take note of verse 20. Rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against that is Balaam, because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path in the vineyards, a wall being on one side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down unto Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. This was the third time. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill thee. Oh, Balaam. Verse 30. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden over ever since I was thine unto this day? And was I ever would to thee so unto thee? And he said, no. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thy ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had again slain thee. That means God was angry with Balaam, and he would have slain Balaam. And the ass saved, you know, his master. Verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, it displeased thee, and if it displeases thee, I will get me back again. Verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Can we say a big amen, amen, to the reading of the word? Amen. The background to this story is that at a point in the journeys of Israel in the wilderness, they needed permission to be allowed passage in some regions. They needed to pass through some territories of some towns and cities where there were certain kings and other authorities that had established themselves there. If they had just walked through the land, imagine 500,000 people working through Accra. I mean, that's a lot. They may have to drink water, they may have to eat, and they may have to engage in other things. Now, as they were journeying, they came to the land where the Ammonites were, and they came to the land where the Moabites were. These two groupings of people were brothers to Israel. Israel came from Jacob, and these other groups had come from Esau, so they were called Edomites. So they were not enemies. They were supposed to be siblings, you know, that had come from different parentage. And eventually what happened was that these people denied Israel access. Israel pleaded with them that we will pass through this land. We will not pluck any of your crops. We will not allow our cattle to feed on anything. We will just pass through the land. Just allow us the permission to go through. The people said, no, if you dare, we will come out and fight against you. Because of this, God became angry with both the Ammonites and the Moabites. God became angry with which people? The Ammonites and the Moabites. So he purposed that these people who originally were supposed to be part of Israel would not enter into or be considered as part of the family of God. For if you read in Nehemiah, he said, for generations to come, forever. In another place, it says, for 10 generations. So God was angry with them. But you see, God is a God of mercy. Do you know Ruth came from Moab? Oh, come on, I'm now preaching. Do you know Ruth came from Moab? And she shouldn't have been allowed to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah. In fact, she shouldn't have been allowed to get near Boaz. And she shouldn't have been allowed to be married to Boaz, to be integrated into the family of God. But God permitted it, and God allowed it on grounds of his mercy. So And it was through Boaz that we had Jesse, and through Jesse, David, and through David, we have Christ. I want to declare to you that no matter the pronouncement that was made against your family or your household, that you will remain in disfavor out of the presence of God today, by the mercies of the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God, that which displaced you shall be taken away, and God shall reintegrate you into his plans and his divine purposes. So you cannot walk around and say that I am cursed and my family is not blessed and that we are disadvantaged. By this scripture of Ruth, who at the time was still to suffer that penalty of they not are being admitted into the congregation of Israel for the rest of life, by the grace of God, Ruth was admitted. I want you to know, by the grace of God, you are admitted. I'm not convinced you are convinced that you and your background, your family, you are admitted because of the forgiving mercies of God. God has wiped away your past. God has forgotten about what your great grandfather and your grandfather and your father and you yourself did against him. By this plea to the throne of God, Jehovah is descending, and anything that has been fighting you, anything that has been resisting you and making you feel that you are an alien and that you don't belong to the household of God, I, as a servant of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I hereby declare that that disadvantage is taken away. That which excluded you has been excluded, and now you are included. Shout amen. The Lantejang way is accepted. The Tetejangma way is accepted. The Kwesi Kwanza way is accepted. And Togbe Agbalagba is accepted. So don't talk their talk, and don't speak like them, and don't believe what they are believing, and don't allow any false prophet to tell you what the Bible has not told you. Today I declare once again, your family is accepted. Can you call the name of your family? Call the name of your family and say, by the mercies of God, we have been reintegrated into the family of God. So these people, the Ammonites and the Moabites, virtually were to be excluded forever from the household of Israel. Now, in the journey of Israel, though they disallowed them, Israel found another way. I want you to know, you're a child of God. When one door closes, seek the face of God for the next door to open. I believe that when one door closes, as you pray for the next door to open, that door will be a bigger door than the first one which closed. If it pleases God, he will open that door and open another door on top of that door and bless you with a double portion. Can I hear a solid amen? Church, Israel had now gotten close to the promised land. They were just on one side of the Jordan. They were on the east. And they were supposed to travel across the Jordan to the west. As soon as they travel across to the west, it means that they are going to enter into their heritage. The last group of persons they fought before they came to their current location, which is called the plains of Moab, they fought the Amorites. Remember, I was talking about Ammonites. They are siblings with Moabites. But now the people that Israel had defeated before they got here were the Amorites. The extent of defeat was so overwhelming. The Amorites were totally shattered. They were devastated. In spite of their military might and power, they were no match to Israel. They were literally minced meat. And the way that God gave Israel that victory was phenomenal. This kind of thing spread around the region, and the king of Moab, who is called Balak, heard about it. Then he said, "We are in trouble. We are in danger. Our lives are not safe. We must do something so we survive. The only thing we can do in order to survive is to find someone who can curse this group of Israelites, because they are such a force to reckon with. They are a people that God supports. And once God is supporting them, you can't defeat them. So let's hire somebody who is an accredited prophet in the heathenic world to come and do the business for us." Balaam was described as a prophet, but he was not a Jew. And Balaam did not belong to the family of Israel. Balaam was somebody who was from among the heathen. And, you know, God allows some people to operate just because of his mercies. And Balaam had been operating, and in proper spiritual terms, we will call him a diviner. Diviners have ways of trying to project into the future to find out what is there to tell people. And diviners would normally charge a fee. If you study a little bit in the New Testament in relation to, you know, Balaam the prophet, he was described as somebody who liked the gains. He liked the wages of wickedness. 2 Peter 2:15. You can't be a prophet of God if you like the wages of wickedness. Somebody comes and say, "Kill this person and I'll give you $10 million. And you do that, you are not a prophet of God. You are like Balaam. You love the wages of wickedness. That is in 2 Peter 2:15. So let's come back to the message. So King Balak said, if we can hire this diviner, who later became known as Prophet Balaam, then if we get him to curse Israel, then we might defeat him. Now look at the extent of understanding that a heathen king had at that time. That in natural battles, the first place to win is the spiritual. And in order to win in the spiritual, words matter. Jesus said, "For the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that don't line up with the word of God are spirit, but they don't provide life. They provide condemnation, they provide destruction, and they provide things that do not favor the believer. So this particular king was acquainted with issues of the supernatural. Sometimes I wonder why some children of God are not opening their understanding to this concept that unless you win in the spirit, you cannot win in the natural. And necessarily, that is why the church gathers, so that the word of God is shared and that we seek the face of God for the presence of God to come down. Then we do our warfare and overcome them, and then we walk into the field and collect the victories. Oh, I thought you'd be clapping over there, because I'm talking spiritually now. Even your clap must bring you victories in Christ Jesus. So you can't have a church without the word of God. You can't have it. You can't have a Christian who's not speaking the word, but talking like an unbeliever. A heathen king was recruiting and outsourcing a heathen prophet to go and curse a blessed people. So let's look at what happened. Number one, in Numbers 22:5, Barak sent the first delegation to Balaam so that they will go and bring him. You see, when a king is calling you, sometimes you have a sense of importance. And the king did not come himself. He sent some emissaries to go and invite this prophet to come, because he was a great king in the east. And then Balaam said, let the people who have been sent wait. They should stay overnight while I seek the face of God, that I would know his mind whether to go along with them and curse the people of God. So Balaam saw the face of God. And the Bible says, and God visited Balaam. It's amazing. God can choose to show himself to anyone at any time. And he told him, don't go and curse Israel, because I have already blessed them. So this first visitation, Balaam was obedient to God and he sent them away. So that was the first visitation. Numbers 22:5. Then there was a second sending. And this time, the king sent some distinguished personalities. There were princes, and there were all kinds of people who came to persuade Balaam to come over with them. And this time, they came with promises from the king of silver and gold and houses and everything. I mean, these things would have been enticing. Balaam should have stuck to the first word that God said, don't go and curse. But this time when they came, Balaam went back to God, and Balaam went to seek the mind of God. There are some of you that don't stick to the word of God. What God has said, you don't stick to it. You try to play on the mind of God and see if he would change his mind. And so this time, you had the princes and you had the other dignitaries coming in to persuade the prophet so that he would join them and go along with him and carry out the intentions of the king. The prophet said, let me seek the face of God. And God literally told the prophet, I would wish you didn't go. But because you are coming in like that, I will say go. Now the fair against declining for Balaam to go along with the servants of the king was the perfect will of God. No compromises. It was a perfect will of God. And Balaam should just have stayed in that perfect will. But Balaam wanted to please the people. Somehow there was something in him that wanted to please the people. So he went back to God. And God virtually told him that, I wish you had stuck to the first thing. But because you want to go, you can go. But only don't curse my people. The second permission that God gave to Balaam is called the permissive will. The first one, God says, don't go. Don't go and curse the children in the plain of Moab. That is the perfect will of God. And every child of God must desire to walk in the perfect will of God. Not the perfect will which has been amended to suit your purposes. The second one was the permissive will of God. God didn't like it. But because the prophet was insisting in an all-night prayer, he decided to allow him to go. And as a child of God, don't walk in the permissive will. I'm not hearing an amen. Walk in the perfect will of God. Because the permissive has a semblance that it will work out. But at the end of the day, you shortchange yourself. So, I'm not hearing an amen. So this time, Balaam organized two servants and organized a donkey and decided that they will proceed with the nobles and the servants and the princes who had been sent to him to the king and to hear what the king had for him. There were three events on the way. The first one was that as they were going, the angel of the Lord, when they say angel of the Lord, in this context is God himself. There were instances when the angel of the Lord appeared and men like Abraham bowed down and gave worship to him. If you read the book of Revelation, there was an angel who brought a message and somebody was bowing down to him. He said, no, don't bow to me. That was an angel. But this one was really God who had taken a form to appear before men. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So God himself appeared in the way of Balaam while he was riding the donkey with his two servants. And Balaam, unfortunately, had his spiritual eyes closed at the time. The donkey, rather, was able to perceive that this was the Lord with a sword drawn in his hand. And he knew the Lord was angry and that his master would die. So instead of going forwards, the donkey decided to go sideways. And he entered the farm and vineyards of some people. Then his master, the prophet, took a whip and lashed him properly. Said, don't you know the way? Come on, go ahead. Go straight on. Then as they were going, they got to a place where there was one wall on one side and another wall on another side. So they were sandwiched between walls. And the donkey could not continue because the angel of the Lord appeared for the second time. So this time what they did to draw the attention of his master was that he moved to one side and he knocked the leg of the master against the wall. I'm sure that the prophet had not felt such a pain before. And he got wild and he whipped him again. Whipped the donkey again. Then the donkey set out going, and this third time they got into a narrow place where the donkey could neither go right nor left. And the angel of God was standing right in the middle of the way. So what the angel, what the donkey did was that it dropped to the ground. Kai, come and see the master. He was what? You would think it was the Accra race course in the Osu cave where people were doing achuchu riding. Where Klolo Klolo Koto and all the other horses, Ekomog, call me names. Oh no, Giono. Banobati, Makwa Kataya. Now, I used to love the sports news when it got to horse racing. Aye Mokusani. Sea never dry. Klolo Klolo Kutu. I love that name. I'll never forget it. You people, you don't follow current affairs. So this time, the man gave it to the horse. Now the horse could no longer bear the pain. And somehow, for the first time, it wasn't the first time in the Bible, but for the first time, God will open the mouth of a donkey and he will prophesy to his master who was blind and could not perceive the things of God. I told you this was not the first time that an animal was speaking to man. The first time was in the Garden of Eden. So the donkey started prophesying and said, can't you see what is in our way? Can't you see the Lord himself with his sword drawn in his anger, ready to smite and destroy you? Can't you see? Then somehow, by God's grace, the prophet's eyes were open. And when he beheld the angel of the Lord, he knew he had sinned. And he knew he had done wrong. And he knew he was pursuing a course that God did not totally approve of. There are some of you, you would chase a lady and chase a lady. Or do you know that the will of God in it is small? You would try to go to God to upgrade and change his mind about the thing. And God will watch you like this. When you are traveling on the way and you get into trouble, you will see the trouble you will get on the way. May God deliver all of us from that thing. It's not every door that opens that you must pass through. It's not every door. There are some doors that lead to the toilet in the house. The perfect will of God. You must be passionate. You must be biased for that. You must have a desire for that. Don't go and stand before your pastor and say, that person, is he born again? The one you want to marry? Pastor. Yeah, so more. Yeah, so more. No. When you seek the perfect will of God, you are seeking for an end which is peace. You are seeking for an end which is satisfaction. It doesn't mean there will be no turbulence, and it doesn't mean that Joseph will not be sold out to Midianites. But once he was in the perfect will of God, he was going to end up on the throne. When we're young Christians, we would read the scripture and the part that says, and David inquired of the Lord. And this person took the, effort and went to seek the face of God. It excited me. Your wife and children have been taken away, and your property has been looted by some Amalekites. Then you go to God and say, shall I pursue? Will I overtake? I don't need even, I'm going straight. But when God told David that pursue, you will overtake and you will recover all, David did not need to take all the men now. He chose only 300. When God is with you, masokataya brakataya, just two persons present can make a difference. Today, I'm telling you, God is making a big difference because you and I are here. If you agree with what I'm saying, let your amen be louder than all that you have said this morning. Mashanda rabakia. God will make a difference. So finally, God sternly warns the prophet that you may go to the king, but be sure you say what I put in your mouth. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. And what I put in your mouth is what you will say. It is not what the king wants to hear. Today, what God put in my mouth is what I'm here to tell the congregation about. I am here to tell you that some people may have wanted to curse you so that they defeat you. But at the instance of they trying to use as a person of occultic contact, at the end of the day, God will fill their mouths. Oh, Masakataya. He will fill the mouth of the witch doctor. He will fill the mouth of the occultist. He will fill the mouth of that traditionalist who dabbles in satanic power. He will fill his mouth and he will say, this person cannot be cursed. I see some brightness. I see some light. I see some greatness. I see the hand of God over this person, and it will be a mistake if I cursed him. You will be in trouble. So let me bless him. And from the occultic place, instead of you being cursed, they will start pronouncing bless. Don't be afraid, because God will hold their mouths, put his word in their mouths, and what they intended they would do shall never materialize. I see somebody blessing you, whether from the occult or from the house of God. I see somebody blessing you because you cannot be cursed. Oh, is that all there? When you're touching your amen, but I mean, you feel. Let me hear wilder amens that you cannot be cursed. God will determine your destiny, and nobody can touch it, and nobody can change it, because he who is with you is greater than all the people that have combined and multiplied against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? And if God be against them, how can they succeed in the enterprise against us? It was in this transaction that the Bible says, for God is not like man, neither is he like the son of man, that he should repent. Has he not said it? And will he not do it good? All that the scripture is saying, that God had gone ahead through Abraham to bless Israel. He had reiterated it in Isaac. He had reiterated it in Jacob. And in Jacob, he lifted him when he contended with him in the wilderness and said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. In promotion, I will promote you. And he went to work with his uncle for almost 20 years. And they cheated him. But the day he walked out a rich man. I am here to announce to you that the prophecy that is gone ahead of you is what shall come to pass. The frustrations may occur, but God's word will supersede every other word in your life. God is not like man. He has blessed you already, so he won't change his He has blessed you already. Can you give seven people a high five? Oh, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Give seven people a high five and say, God has gone ahead to bless you. He won't change his mind. Echake ijwemo. Nunchole echonye. Ni ijobo umo. Ewo echake ijwemo. Jehenye loahiwo. The Lord will not change his mind. The Lord will not change his mind. Because you belong to the seed of Christ that is blessed through Father Abraham. I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. You were blessed before your great grandfather was born. You were blessed before your father was born and your grandfather was born. And you were blessed. A challenge does not mean a curse. A frustration does not mean a curse. It only reveals the intention of the devil. And God wants you to be stronger, so he will strengthen you to combat that opposition. Oh, Masia Kataya Brakataya. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that him that the Lord has blessed is already blessed. Devil, you are late. Witch doctors, you are late. Occultists, you are late. People who hate you and want to pronounce things and fetch water and come and pour it at your doorstep and in the junctions of your community, it will not work because they will fly over you. Yababa suastaya. God said, Bala, don't go and speak on your own. But when you get there, listen to what I will put in your mouth and speak in accordance. And the king said, now you have come. I want you to go there and yes, these people proper because they are too strong. There's a certain divine invincibility surrounding them. You can't understand why they win. I didn't say invisible. There is a certain divine grace around their lives which you cannot defeat. If the Amorites in their strength and power could not defeat them, then how much less we, the Moabites? They started getting afraid. The enemy is afraid of you. From the day you were born, oh, the Herods plotted to kill you, but God spared your life. The enemy is afraid of you. I said, the enemy is afraid of you. The enemy is trembling in fear. Masustakataya. He's just trying to see if you will give up. He's just trying to see if he will make a negative confession. But don't make a negative confession. You can find a stone and put your right leg on it and say, this stone is a witness in the sight of God. I will never give up and I will never go back. I am fighting the good fight of faith, and I'm fighting in progress, in advancement to the end. A delay does not mean you are cursed. A disappointment does not mean you are cursed. A frustration does not mean you are cursed. God is only strengthening your spiritual muscles so you can conquer bigger lands that are ahead of you. Look at what God did. Israel didn't even need to pray. They were just there. And this man Balak was conspiring to curse them and attack them. And God was pulling the strings and saying that this mission you are going on, I, Jehovah, sent you. I will hold your lips and I will put my words in your mouth. And by the time you say, thus saith the Lord, you would have blessed them. So the king took the prophet to a particular place, a particular location, so that he will, the first place is called Bamoth Baal. It's Numbers 23 from 7. The second place is called the top of Pisgah. It follows. And the third place is verse 27, still in chapter 23. It's called the top of Poah. So the first was Bamoth Baal, the second top of Pisgah. The third in Numbers 23, 27, the top of Poah. In each of these places, seven altars were requested to be built. Seven bullocks were slaughtered and seven rams were offered to the Lord. It happened in the first place, Bamoth Baal, in the top of Pisgah. Seven altars, seven bullocks, seven rams. And the third one, the top of Poah. Seven altars, seven bullocks, seven rams. The altar and the sacrifices were made before the pronouncement. They were sacrificing to please their God. The king wanted the sacrifices, and the sacrifices were made. But eventually, when the blessing had to happen, when the pronouncement had to happen, God took charge. Your destiny is in the hands of God. Nothing will change it. Nothing will alter it. Nothing will destroy it. It was determined before the foundation of the world. You may drift apart, but God will bring you back. It doesn't mean that the destiny has changed. So your destiny is only refreshed. Your destiny cannot be destroyed. The enemy may want somebody to drift off, so that because you are not on the right path, you will not arrive where you ought to. But God has a way of bringing you back. Have you forgotten Israel? They will forsake God, go and serve idols, intermarry with other nations, and then God will raise a judge and bring them back, because their destiny was always before the eyes of God. If you know your destiny is in the hands of God, based on the choices you make, Clap a loud shout to God's glory. Nobody in my background determines my destiny. No occultic worshiper who goes to the palace of the chief to do anything because he thinks that that is a place of greatest power shall have influence on my life, because God has called me and my destiny is secured and locked up in him. Shout amen, somebody. So for three times, King Barak was persistent. He would send the prophet the first time, and the prophet would bless them. Then he'd come back and say, "Prophet, you didn't do well at all. Don't you like the things I say I'll give you? I will increase it. I will add more. I'll make you great. I will honor you. Go back and kiss them." Then the prophet will tell him, "I will go again, but what God will put in my mouth is what I will say." So the second one, he was in Petska. And the third one went to the top of Poa. And that one there, King thought that this time the man will speak for me. He will prophesy and Israel will be in trouble. But when this person with a divinest background, but taking as a vessel of God to be used, went there, he went to establish it and he blessed for the third time. It tells me you were blessed yesterday, but that is not enough. You will be blessed now. You will be blessed today. And tomorrow too, you shall be blessed. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. In the original, the word bless means to kneel or to stretch out your hand as if you are receiving from God. To kneel refers to the disposition of your heart, that you are humbling yourself and you know that promotion is not from the east nor from the west, but promotion cometh only from God. If God does not build, then they that labor, labor in vain. You may go to Russia, go to China, except the Lord build and establish your prosperity, you may trot around the world and it will not work for you. May God be the one who is building your success. The second meaning of to be blessed is to be giving advantage. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Is to be supernaturally giving advantage in your circumstances. You are supernaturally giving advantage. You get to a place, everybody is stuck, but somehow God will give you advantage supernaturally and you will pass through. They say the gate is locked. It should not be open for anybody, so nobody can go. But as soon as you get there, they say, "You, pass the other side, pass the other side. Come." I mean the man whose height is like Tete Jangba, pass the other side. So it gives you advantage. Number three, the word blessing means to be in a disposition to receive the grace of God to succeed. It is the grace of God that makes us great. It is the grace of God that charts our path and helps us to achieve. So this grace of God that comes upon you or that you receive enable you succeed. Number four, blessing means God's anointing to facilitate your course. It's God's anointing to facilitate your course right from birth through nursery, primary, secondary, tertiary institution. God will give you skills to start business, give you a partner to marry in His perfect will. God will guide you to the job that you must be in, and He will start opening doors for you. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. So He gives you a certain anointing that when all others are being rejected, you are received. Blessing is an important thing. And if somebody blesses you, it is more than $1 million. Oh, shout amen, shout. On the opposite end are curses. Number one, it means to be empowered to fail. Just like Jabez, no matter what you do, it ends up in pain. Unless you go before your God and say, God, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Number two, a curse means to be spiritually disadvantaged. And number three, a curse means to be under a type of demonic spell. What do curses do? They weaken your defenses. They tend to make you vulnerable to demonic attacks. Number two. Number three, they undermine your protection. Number four, curses have the capacity to scatter your blessings. And number five, curses will make you walk through life without that godly satisfaction that you must get at the end of the day. King Balak wanted Israel empowered to fail, wanted Israel spiritually disadvantaged, wanted a demonic spell to be cast against them to weaken their defenses, to weaken the defenses of Israel and make them vulnerable to all kinds of heathenic attacks, and to undermine their state of divine protection and to scatter their blessings, and which will result in lack of satisfaction because they will see with their eyes, but they will never achieve it in their lives. Nehemiah said that although the intention was to curse, my God turned the curses into blessings. I'm going to ask you to clap, not for me, not necessarily for Jesus, but you are clapping. Oh, come on. You are clapping as an intervention for your own life before the presence of God. You are clapping and shouting to declare in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, sister, your clap is too gentle. If this is the gentle clap, it's a God bless you, sister. You see, I'm using my mouth again. God bless you, sister. God, the sisters are clapping more than the God bless you.
Oh, come on, continue clapping. Ayelerebe siakataya ya bia selerebe kia stakata imandiribe kaya breast telerebe kia ayelerebe kaya breast telerebe kia. May you be blessed with the blessings from on high. May you be blessed with the blessings of the dew, that as the dew falls upon Mount Hermon, and brings unity in the midst of people, may God command his blessing in your family, in your household, in the church, and in True Vine Charismatic Church International. In your business, shout yeah! May God bless you with the blessings of the deep, with the blessings of the ocean. May God bless you with the blessings of aquatic life, with the blessings of salt in the ocean. May God bless you with every mineral resource in the bottom of the place. May God guide you that you will have ownership of these things. Shout yeah! May God bless you with the blessings in the bowels of the earth. The gold, the silver, the diamond. You're not saying amen. The gold, the silver, the diamonds, the uraniums, the copper, and all the other mineral resources used in manufacturing aircrafts and cars and other building materials. I bless you with the blessings of the deep, with the blessings of the earth, in the name of Jesus, and with oil. May God raise some people to be oil magnets in the church. Oh, that you will own a company where you will employ specialists who will be working for you, and your profit will just be coming in millions. Oh, somebody must own an oil company here. Somebody must own a fishing vessel here. Somebody must own a cruise ship. May you be blessed with the blessing of intelligence. May you not have low intelligence when they measure your IQ. May it hit the top percentile. May your children be so blessed with intelligence and divine understanding and wisdom of God in the name of Jesus, that you can solve intricate problems and unravel mysteries like Daniel. May you own intellectual properties, copyrights in music, copyrights in books, copyrights in design, like an architect. May you own copyright like lawyers, and draftsmen, and masons, and carpenters, and seamstresses, and traders. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, are you not clapping? All the things I'm calling, they sound bigger than you. You have to accept them big before they will happen in your life. I didn't hear an amen. In the time of Solomon, and I want to bless you that the days of looking for coins in your drawers are over. The days of chasing coins that go under your bed, for which you need to sweep the whole room. Oh, even on a clean up day, you find it. The little children who are cleaning, it's over. In the name of Jesus, the days of living by coins
Oh, I'm blessing you.
I said, I'm blessing you. May God bless the works of your hands. May God bless the works of your hands with creativity, with ingenuity. Ah, come on. That whatever you touch will turn out well. You may have a little dream, but God will give you a big shop and a franchise and a chain of businesses. May God bless you.
Oh, I didn't hear an amen.
And Hezekiah was sick to the point of death. And Isaiah, the accredited prophet of God, was sent to come and tell him he must prepare his house because he was going to die. He received the word as word from God, but he knew there was a better word from the same God. So he turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, look at the little service I've given to you. Look at the commitment that I've done to you. Look at the things I've tried in my human weakness I've done well. Lord, have mercy upon me.
Isaiah had just taken about 30 steps and had gotten out of the king's room. He was now in the open place in the king's palace. And God spoke back to him and said, go back and tell the man, I've added 15 more years.
I say, you shall not die. You shall not die. I cancel death. I cancel premature death from your life, from your household, from your children, from your grandchildren, from your great-grandchildren. I cancel death. I cancel accidents. I cancel disaster. I cancel poisoning. I cancel masustaya. I cancel disease and sickness, chronic diseases and sickness. May they lose their power in your life. You will not die because the cancer is cursed. It's cursed. The tumor is cursed. The ovarian cyst is cursed to destroy. One shall chase a thousand, but when you stand, you will always have support. You will chase away 10,000. May you be blessed with the blessings of the field. May your cattle prosper. May your sheep prosper. May the animal husbandry you are involving, including guinea pigs and rabbits and piggery and everything, may God bless the thing for you. May your farm be blessed. I didn't hear an amen. May your grapes be blessed. May they look huge and big like the one that was harvested from Jericho when the 12 spies were sent. Shout amen and put your hands to it. May you be blessed with corn. May you be blessed with oil. May you be blessed with rice and wheat. May you be blessed with all kinds of fruits. You will walk healthy. I say you will walk healthy. I say you will walk healthy. As for 20, you cross it. As for 30, you are crossing it already. 40, you have crossed. 50, you have gone past. 60 with characteristic ease. As for 70, you are just taking a stroll. And God has blessed you and he will bless you. As for 80, a spiritual jarrah for your life. 90, you are there. You are like Abraham and Sarah. I say, I bless you. Your children will not be wayward. Your children will not be in class 5. And when they are asked 3 plus 1, they cannot answer. Your children will not be in class 6 and cannot spell their names.
Your children will start from the beginning and rise to the top of the academic pinnacle. Oh, shout amen, shout. As for dressing, God himself would change your wardrobe. Joseph had no wardrobe because he was a prisoner, and all of them kept their things together. The only attire was the prison jumper. But when God brought him out, God changed his wardrobe. I see your wardrobe being changed. No, I'm not talking about the other person. I'm talking about you. I see your wardrobe being changed. There are sponsors. Who will sponsor you? Abraham's name was blessed. And God said his name will be great. I release anointing upon your name. I say upon your name, that by the time the name is mentioned, it would have traveled far and wide. In the name of Jesus, there will be respectability for the name. There will be glory on the name. There will be honor on the name. The name will unlock doors while Christ's name is upon your name. Oh, shout amen. Can you clap together? How can I bless you without blessing you with lands? May you be blessed with lands, that the lands department will be amazed at you. You will go in and register one plot. You will go back and register two plots. Then you will start with 1 acre and go to 10 acres. And you will get to 50 acres. And you get to 110 acres. And you get to 1,000 acres. And you will own lands. It's not everything that you get by money. You will get some things by favor. God will let you go and pray for a chief. And the chief will be healed. And the chief will say, "In Yeshipon, Baba, Oye, Biene, Osma, Adrian, Alo, Abeku, Osma, Bokan, Alo, Anahe, Choma, Mi, Abo, No, Nido, Ni, Machino, Mahabo, Boy, Kake, Amen, Bidencha, Maka, Amen, Amen, Hey, Amen. Matushie nyo make. Amen. Watashi. What is a car? God says a cattle on 1,000 hills. If on one hill there are 500 cattle or 1,000 cattle, multiplied by 1,000 hills, he says it's mine. If I needed money, I would sell them. But I don't need money. I created them for you. May you receive your cattle. I'm speaking figuratively now. May you receive your wealth. May God give you plans for wealth. Ideas for wealth. Plans that would generate wealth. As for car, may people just buy for you like that. Mama find a him o car. Daddy o car no maje. Oh, I did it. Ah, e won yeke amen. Oh, come on, shout, 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 yes. Look at my age. Look at how I'm shouting. And young men are doing jolly, jolly shouting.
You will travel with various airlines and you will not be afraid. You will not have fright for the air, because God will want you to visit his property. I remove that phobia. I remove that fear from your heart and from your life in Jesus' name. Your passport shall be stamped with various visas. Your air tickets shall be financed and sponsored by the Lord. If it's your birthday, you will not go on the internet and tell her 20 days away. What is that? Are you doing Lalasuli Lamadu on the internet? The day will come and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Please meet me at restaurant 007. Still loading. 7 days away. For what? Still loading. God may just make one person think about you. Plan something that will constitute your capital to start a business, or capital injection into your business. Shout, yeah! Today, God told me, when you get here, I'll put the things in your mouth. Say them. Say them. Even if it's beyond their heads, say them. It will land in their lives. It will materialize. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. We curse the power of miscarriage. We curse the power of divorce from our mister. We curse the power that makes people prematurely to be widows and widowers. We curse those powers. We ask in the name of Jesus that fruitfulness from the throne of God, fruitfulness by the power of God, fruitfulness that will show in reality, fruitfulness that will bring pregnancy for those who desire fruit of the womb, fruitfulness in business, in your vocation, fruitfulness. May God give me the honor of the long-awaited fruit of the womb. May God give me the honor of coming to dedicate your child. Oh, and now I am praying. I am praying for myself that may he give you the victory that I will participate in it. Can I hear an amen? May God bring back your children home. Those who have gone wayward, those who have been oppressed by the devil, and those who are experiencing satanic seizures, we break the power from their lives. Stagnation is over. You didn't hear me. Marking time is one place is over and done with. From now, you will arise and shine, because your light is come, and the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord is come upon you. Shout, yeah! Oh, I always like that shout here. Sister, God bless you. Abundance of blessing. So nobody will emulate here, so I bless here too. May the Lord bless you, sir, madam, may God bless you. May the Lord bless all my pastors. Bless them. No, Lala Sulila Amadu. God will bless us. He will bless us, and we will remain blessed. The blessings will be transferred generationally to our children, our children's children. Our children will remain in the faith. So will our children's children's children. And Nehemiah said, in Nehemiah 13:2, he said, because they met the children of Israel, they met them not with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. This one you should be clapping, shouting, because I'm talking about you now. Oh, it's as if your claps are finished. Many Odin war, true they were the ancient. May the curses be turned into blessing. May the pronouncements of your fathers, of your mothers, of your aunties, of your cousins, of your relatives, of your friends, and of that person in authority that was brought against you, I command, may the curse be destroyed right now in Jesus' name. And may the curse be turned into blessing in Jesus' name. For those people who think when it rains and people don't show up, the pastor will reduce his message. Nope. Sister, may God bless you. Whatever is delayed will be quickened. I see the quickenings. Spirit of God, may God quicken your steps. Quicken your steps. I see you enter into your heritage. May God quicken your steps. Accelerate your pace. Let the path of yours cross with the one that he has ordained for you. God anoint you with blessings. Bring laughter to you. I bless you. In Jesus' name. Come and put your hands together. Let all the people praise. Oh, today we are going to the Lord's table. Let all the people praise the name. Let all the people praise the name forever. Listen, they built 7 altars. They offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams 3 times to make the pronouncement work. Your sacrifice, one is that of the fruit of your lips. Don't stand as if you don't know the song. Even if you don't know it, learn it. Sing it. That is your sacrifice. The people praise the name forever, forever. Let all. I want you to lift your voice and sing. The people praise the. Let all the people praise the. Praise thy name forever, forever. Edao, Edamada, Mehum Jane Quanin,
And I may home a chinqua. Media, yo, media. And yes, see yes, Lord, me ho in quite a name. And I me ho my chick. Media, yo, media. Oh, mere nasi bema. Bema. Bema, bema, nuda. Odo nyanko upone, odo nyanko upone, odo nyanko upone, ye yiwa. Sing it, sing it. Udinga ya wawa Enshira wawa. Udinga ya wawa Adoma Shaduma Jesus. Udinga ya wawa.
Oh yeah, wang wawa.
Udinga ya wawa.
Aduma
Shaduma.
Oh,
Utinga Yewawa.
Yes, Lord, in Shira. Oh, Utinga
Yewawa.
Aduma
Shaduma.
Jesus.
Utinga Yewawa. The Bible says that night after he had blessed the bread. Yes. Yes, Lord. After he had blessed the bread. Makundiribikia. Let the power of God bless. Oh, Mikindiribisaya. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat. And as often as you do show the Lord's death. Then he lifted the cup and said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Oh, there was a certain empowerment of grace upon the elements when he blessed them. Oh, masuste yebre kebetia. That this blessing shall not cause the church to backslide. Shall not cause the church to enter into apostasy. Shall not cause the church to be deceived. Shall not cause the church to fail to carry out responsibilities according to the word of God, but according to the grace of restoration that occurred in the time of Nehemiah, that there shall be a mighty revival coming from the four corners of the earth and touching lives. Today, these elements are blessed. They were grown out of the natural soil. They were harvested and processed. You, Jehovah, was the one who provided these things. So we do commit it to you that you will use them as points of contact in the name of Jesus to dissolve the misery of your people. To destroy the disappointment and the depression and the fear and the anxiety and the worries. Every bipolar nature disappears. Anything that wants to appear like madness or insanity, we cast it out. We declare the wisdom of God shall be the portion of the church. Understanding, spirit of might, of counsel, spirit of power, spirit of fear of the Lord, let it rest upon us, O God. Let it come to pass that these elements will activate the blessings of God. They will activate the blessings of God upon us to facilitate and bless our marriages. You may go ahead and take it. There are two layers when you get your portion. Peel off the first cellophane sheet. It will give you the wafer, which is now the body of Christ. And peel off the second layer, which will give you the communion wine, which is now, we declare, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, sing it, sing it.
Won't you buy a casket? Me resigning.
Thank you, sir.
One part sitting in the head. Oh, me resigning.
Pick one out of the elements and administer it for us. You know the place. Reverend Yao, you pick two of the elements and administer it for us. You know the place. Oh, sing it. I haven't asked you to sit. I want
Hello.
I will instruct you before you take it, please.
Oh, there is a
of the wafer, which is now the body of Christ. Please, you may take and eat it. It bears the grace of God. This is called the Eucharista, which means an element of grace. That means the grace you couldn't reach, this grace will come down to you. Go ahead and partake of the contents of the cup, which is now the blood of Jesus. Mayo soko toyo. Church, we are going to worship. The Bible says after they partook of this, Jesus himself sang praises. I don't know which song he raised. Some of you don't sing. The Jesus you serve, he sings. So let's flow. So we're going to worship. If you want to kneel down, if you want to raise your hands.
Put your hands up, let's worship him. Oh, Sanwa Jumano.